Hello and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. It's the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. I'm your host, Scott Ritzheimer, and here's what just about nobody warns you about in this process, specifically the sales process that built your business. It actually only works because you're the one doing it. And the moment that you hired or try to hire someone else to sell for you or even with you, it becomes a very, very expensive problem. And this is yet another and probably one of the biggest challenges that turns founders into reluctant managers, because you can't just hand someone all your instincts. And without a repeatable, teachable process, your new hire's just winging it, and they're probably not going to do it the way that you did. There's a good chance they won't do it as well as you did. And it leads to all kinds of unpredictability, added cost, and a huge amount of frustration. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, today's guest knows exactly how to fix it. We have with us today Shad Tidler, who has been a seasoned member of the Lucian sales team since 2014. He combines his extensive global expertise with disciplined mindset, and he is an Ironman triathlete, which is just extraordinary. We might get into that a little bit later. But as a leading sales transformation consultant, he's known for crafting scalable strategies and processes tailored to a client's success. Shad's structured approach instills a sense of calm in clients, guiding them past immediate challenges and toward their goals. Well, Shad, we've kind of laid it out here. We know what the gambit is in front of us. Why is it that so many founders get the sales process wrong when they try and hand it off to their first real sales team member?
It's something called learned helplessness. It's called non-transferable skills. Sorry, learned helplessness is a whole different thing that actually adds into it. I'll explain here in a minute, but it's called non-transferable skills. So you're the owner of a company, right? And you build it, and selling comes natural to you because you go, I've got the charisma. It's my company. The buck stops with me. I've just kind of learned things over time. And then you, a lot of times I've seen this as owners are getting that first salesperson, they just expect that it's going to happen, right? Like they're going to like, oh, that person's going to know it like me, or I'll just go, hey, here's my leads. And you just go out and all of a sudden revenue is going to take off. And as you alluded to, Scott, it doesn't. And the problem is like all that knowledge, everything up in their head, all that expertise, even the way they show up, they can't get it out of their head and translate to someone and then lay it out in a way that someone can learn it, pick it up, be coached to it, and put it into play. Even if you, and I see this a lot of times, when they're hiring their first salesperson, they may get lucky and find a great salesperson. A lot of times they don't. And that's a whole other thing we're going to talk about here in a second is, what do you need to set up for that? A lot of times they don't, but if they do, and they expect, okay, they're a great salesperson that's coming in, they just expect sales are going to take off, and then all of a sudden things dip or things go backwards because they've taken the foot off the gas and this person is still ramping up, right? If you think of a ramp up of a sales person, well, it's probably like an effective ramp up is going to be 2 to 3 months at least, and then it's plus the sales cycle for actual sales to start coming in. So if you're even in a longer sales cycle, like let's say like construction or something really like that, it may be almost a year or more before you're really starting to see sales start to pick up with an appropriate onboarding plan, right? So that's one big thing is that they struggle because they got all this knowledge in their head and they think that person is just going to have that same knowledge and they don't know how to get it out and then coach, train, hold people accountable to apply it.
Yeah. So there are two big parts to this. And I'm going to start with what I think most people probably think is the bigger part, but you may argue is the smaller part. What are you looking for in that first salesperson?
There are three big areas. And there's some tools, I'll mention some tools that are used that can help you suss this out. Number one is there what we call will to sell. So are they truly motivated to go out and sell and even get better? Because even if you get the best salesperson, they're not perfect, right? That's a small percentage. So are they motivated to get better? Do they have a desire? We call it like a fire in your belly, go out and be proactive, not to wait for leads to come in, not to wait for things to fall in their lap, but to go, I'm going to go out and hunt. I'm going to go out and, for lack of a better word, screw some stuff up in order to be able to get better and to build things and to get things going. Are they committed to doing what it takes, which means I'm willing to do the tough stuff. I'm willing to screw up and make mistakes, right? So you're looking for things like that and will to sell. And then you're looking at things like what we call DNA for a salesperson. That's beliefs and biases that are supporting them being effective salesperson, not getting in the way. Like I think of these like this guy. It's like I live in Indianapolis here. If I was to drive to downtown Chicago, it would take about three and a half hours. Well, what would make it take longer? Well, traffic on the way, construction, Indiana. I mean, especially this time of year, weather, right? I'll still get to my goal again in downtown Chicago, but it took longer, more frustration, more headaches, more effort. And when these beliefs and biases are getting in the way and they're working opposite you, it's like that. It's like all that stuff getting in the way, that's making it harder. So you want somebody that's got strong DNA and able to have tough conversations when they need to and be able to push back or challenge when they need to, hold their ground, be able to talk money effectively, be able to effectively get people to make decisions quickly, be able to handle rejection, right? And then finally is the actual skill sets, right? Which is tactical skill sets. So not only do I have the right tools to be able to be effective, so to get out there and hunt and get in front of new decision makers, the ideal decision makers, and start conversations, but I know how to use them and I know when to use them. I do it consistently. And then there's one last piece that they should be looking for, and is that person coachable? Because I've seen all those other three things be really strong with a non-coachable or a low coachability person, which means if you're helping them, Scott, they're your person and you're like, hey, let's talk about this, or let's work on this, or I'm going to coach you on this. They'll say to your face, that sounds great, Scott. I bet that would help. Oh my gosh, that would be great. And they'll walk away from that conversation going, you don't understand, that's never going to work, or my way's better. And then you're frustrated, leader or manager going, why the heck are we having this conversation again? Why don't they get it? Well, if they're not coachable, it's not going to matter. Yeah. So those are some of the big things that you got to be looking for in people.
Those are excellent. And simple, but powerful and so very true. So we've kind of got this people part, at least we know what to look for there. So let's say we plug the right person into this role. How do we plug them into the right role? How do we structure that for their success?
So there are two parts to that. Part number one is you got to have the bird cage ready for the bird. Okay. And here's what that analogy means. Bird is the salesperson coming in. Birdcage is the structure and the strategy and the pieces around to support them to have that comfortable, you know, house there. So what does that mean? Well, that means, do I actually have goals for them? I can't tell you the number of companies I've talked to and worked with, or the first time I've helped them hire, I go, what's the goal for the salesperson? They're like, I don't know. Okay. So you have no idea. You just want to come in and sell me. You have no idea like how much you want to and like what success looks like. We got to have goals. We got to go, okay, how do we break those goals down now to the right metrics, the right indicators that we're looking, and then know what those things are to measure along the way and have appropriate one-to-one set with them. Do we know they're even in their personal goals? What are they going after and why? And then relate it back to, okay, here's where we need to get you from a sales side or to work on to get you, give you that so you're motivated. Do you have a good, strong sales process? Right? That's effective, that you can train somebody, you know how to train and coach them to it and use to hold accountable that they're doing all the right things to qualify opportunities. So they're chasing the right stuff that you want as a leader. Do you have the right ideal client profile and list to help them? Yeah, they got to go out and hunt, but you got to help them paint the picture, right? Do you have the skills to hold them accountable? Do you have training and development or a way to do that for them to help them, right? So that's a big piece of it. To find the right. Now, the second piece is you got to have some tools to go and also part of your onboard or your hiring process to go, okay, here's the ideal candidate or job description. Here's the nice to haves versus the must haves. That becomes your, okay, now this is the template and what we're going to measure against through that process. And then having some sort of an objective evaluation tool that can tell you, A, are they the right fit for that role? And within your company selling environment, B, going back to what I said, that will to sell, DNA, tactical, coachable, is that really there or not? Not I'm going to rely on my gut kind of thinks in an interview. Not I'm going to rely on they wrote a great resume and they talk of the right things, but I've got objective data to measure that to go, now I know not only they're right for my company and our environment, but the right fit for this role.
Yeah. Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at foundersquiz.com. Again, that's foundersquiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. It can be really hard when it comes to the sales process piece of that. When it's working for you, you're kind of inside the fishbowl looking around thinking, this is fine. What are the hallmarks of a good sales process and how can a founder start to split themselves out of that early in this process so they don't end up paying for it later?
So I'm going to give three of the biggest, and then I'm going to talk about the other pieces that are ancillary to it in the process, and then we'll talk about how to split out. The three biggest things I see most sales process are missing, and that's why not even is it, you know, Scott, we get a no, right? Or, you know, here's the reason, but like no decision gets made, no action gets taken. And that's where most deals die, is it's a lack of them doing anything. Number one is we're not talking to the right people. So there's not a stage in or milestone in that process that goes, this is what the ideal decision maker looks like, and we've got to make sure we get to them and have conversations, right? And whether that's a single or whether you're in a complex or that's multiple people. Number two, there's no compelling reason for them to even take action and make a change. Hey, this sounds great. That would be wonderful to do versus we're having this problem. It's impacting us, our business this way. It's impacting us personally, the decision makers in this way, and we got to do something about it. Number three, there's no commitment to change and there's no check in the process for it. Just because somebody goes, I've got a problem, here's a reason that I would make a change, does not mean they're committed to changing. I had a conversation earlier this week with a prospect, an owner and VP of sales, shared a lot of problems and things are happening with a particular sales team, but there is not commitment to do anything about it right now. I can't create that in somebody, neither can you. All you can do is uncover it's there or not, and then go, if it's not, that's a reason not to spend time. Doesn't mean we won't come back later and revisit or they change, but right now, not to spend time. Now, the other things that go with that process, you got to have some way to get in front of them through various prospecting efforts and a good design for that first conversation to go get them to go, yeah, I would spend time with you and have a further conversation. You got to make sure we differentiate from the competition within that, whether competition is doing nothing, competition is somebody they use now, or competition is other people bidding on the work. We've got to make sure we have a good budget step in there. So talking investment of dollars, time, effort. And we got to make sure we understand how they make the decision, the process and criteria and timeline were aligned. And then a good, here's how we close to that next step and get a yes or a no. That's what the process should look like. And those three things I started with are the key. Now, for owner, the thing is like a lot of that getting to decision makers, finding compelling reasons, getting commitment, that's just natural for them, right? Because their title gets them to the decision makers. Yes. I'm an owner, president, CEO of a company. Owner, president, CEO of a company comes out of the woodwork when I call on them, right? Or I meet, right? They go, you get me, you understand me because you're at my level. And so I'll open up about the good, the bad, and the ugly of things going on. They're like, I only have so much time, so I got to figure out, are you actually committed or not? That comes natural to sales, like to owners and president CEOs and sales leaders who are, you know, owning their company. That's the stuff that has to be taught and developed and great salespeople have, but you have to help them with that because they don't walk in with it naturally like that owner does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. Shout out, before I let you go, I've got this question that I love to ask all my guests. I'm going to ask it of you. And the question is this. What would you say is the biggest secret that you wish was not a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
If I know in the group here that, you know, your audience, Scott, as owners and leaders of companies, your people aren't you. Your people aren't you. It's so easy. I see so many times I hear so many, well, naturally they're motivated this way because that's how I'm motivated. Naturally, they can go out and do these things like we talked about, having those non-transferable skills. The sooner you realize they're not you and they're not motivated by things you are, they don't have your skills and experience, and then do something about it and get out of the way, the faster the company grows.
Yeah. It's so hard when they're not you and you come to that realization, then you're like, well, who are they? Because they're not everybody else either. You know, it's that space between. Yeah. And you gave us just such a great list. And for those listening, and you're like, well, then who are they? Go back and listen to the points that he made about who makes a great salesperson. It's exactly what you're looking for. Shad, I know there's folks who'd love more help. They'd love more information. They'd love to know more about the work that you do. Where can they find out more about you and your work?
Sure. If go to www.lucian, that's L as in Larry, U, S in Sam, H as in Harry, I, N as in Nancy.com. At the top, you'll see Meet Our Coaches. If you click on there, that'll give you a link to, you'll see my picture and a link to my page. Right there, you can reach out and ask, you know, for grab some time with me, et cetera, or learn a little bit more.
That's great. That's great. Well, for those listening, if you found yourself even at all in this position, please do reach out to Shad. He's going to do a ton of good for you. Shad, thanks for being on the show. It was a privilege and honor having you here. Really, really powerful insights. Nice, simple, easy to take action on. And thank you for moving us downfield. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
For those of you watching, listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. Hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use hashtag StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.